Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. For double mothers, the role of being both a biological mother and a stepmother can make for a real balancing act. Caleb Pritchard discusses the boundary work of double mothers at the next Steam Cafe. That's next Tuesday, March 19th at Hay Camp Brewing Company in Rapid City. Dr. Pritchard is an assistant professor in the Department of Social Sciences at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. She joins us now by phone this morning to preview her Steam Cafe presentation. Caleb Pritchard, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with some definitions and this notion of boundary work. Tell us what exactly that means.
Well, within family sociology, boundaries within those families are defined as who we include in our family and who we exclude. So if you ask people, who is your family, the people that they would include, maybe parents, spouses, children, would be the most common answers, would be the people within that family boundary. But then by definition, there's a lot of people excluded from that. And some of those definitions vary from person to person. But what I want to highlight in my talk on Tuesday is the work that these women as biological mothers and stepmothers do of who they include, who they exclude from their notions of family and how that impacts their identities and their experiences.
All right. So when we think of stepmothers, most people immediately go to a long literary tradition of the wicked stepmother and how stepmothers in general have been dealt with in literature and folklore, fairy tales, in history. How far back, when you sort of consider the role of stepmothers and biological mothers today, are you looking at when the seeds were planted for some of the way we see this role now?
You know, those fairy tales and those folk legends do impact how women experience the role today. A number of women that I spoke to noted that they're fighting that trope of the evil stepmother, that they are very conscious of their interactions with their stepchildren because they don't want to be labeled by those kids or by those kids' biological mothers as the evil stepmother who is being too harsh, too demanding, treating her biological children, you know, better than her stepchildren. So those are still very impactful in women's lived experiences, even though we do recognize that they are stories, they are fairy tales. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
How much is this? How many women, do you have any sense of, how common is it to have biological children and stepchildren?
You know, statistics are a funny thing. We don't do really well counting kind of motherhood numbers. I mean, there's some numbers that I can go back, I have to go back to 2010 to think about how many women were biological mothers. When it comes to step families and remarriage, those circumstances can vary so much from family to family. You can slice it a dozen different ways. But I can say that one estimate from 2015 is about 31% of women in a remarried step family, so where at least one partner has had a previous marriage and one partner has children from a previous relationship, about 31% of women are double mothers within those families. So it's not an uncommon experience.
How about the language that we use to really even, you're using double mothers, which I've never heard before. Other people talk about their bonus kids. And, talk a little bit about language and how we identify ourselves in these different roles.
Well, double mother is my term. I coined it when I wrote my dissertation when I was in graduate school to give a sense of definition identity to these women. In reading the research on motherhood and step families, there's, the words of biological mother and stepmother are used commonplace. And then there were these footnotes I started noticing in some studies on stepmothers that, well, a certain number of these women also had biological children. And that really intrigued me. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, that can't be just a footnote. That has to be a significant experience that warrants study in and of itself rather than just an aside in other work. And so I started thinking about, women who have both, because in our culture, you are either the biological mother who is, warm and kind and nurturing, or you are the evil stepmother. And, looking at the numbers and talking to my friends and in my own life, I know there are plenty of women who are both. And within my own work, these women are different. Double mothers are different than women who just have biological kids or just have stepkids. And so in my work, I'm trying to figure out, well, why and how and what do those differences mean and how do women think about them and experience them? And going back to language, some women talked about bonus kids. A lot of women did talk about their kids as stepkids. But it was very interesting that the women I interviewed really wanted to get rid of that designation between my biological children and my stepchildren. They often just referred to my kids, and they're including all of those kids in their boundaries and their definitions of their family, which was really interesting because culturally we tend to make that distinction or expect that distinction of women of these are my children and these are not my children. These are his children. Referring to a husband, for example. But these women are very conscious that these are all my kids, regardless of whether or not they gave birth to them.
Are the women themselves who are in, you know, these situations, the double mothers, are they kind of driving? And what I want to get at here is something you mentioned before about the mother, you know, the biological mother and how she feels about the stepmother. Are there hesitations for some women to say, these are my kids? Because once you say that, another woman might be standing there saying, uh-uh.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one of the boundary work that they perform of, if I call these kids my kids, what's that going to do to their relationship with their biological mother? What's it going to do to my husband with his ex-wife? How's she going to feel about that? And most of the women that I interviewed referred to that boundary as being very filled with conflict, a lot of disagreement, a lot of discord, and that their children, their stepchildren, don't call them mom. They call them by their given name because of the feelings or the conflict that would raise with those children's biological mothers. And culturally, this makes a lot of sense. We have an idea in our culture of father figures, where kids can have a coach or a clergy member represent kind of a father figure in their lives. We don't have that with mothers. Mm. Within our culture, you have one mother. And so to have another woman step in and try to take that role or even a part of that role, a lot of women reported, you know, just that this caused conflict within their families, but then they themselves as biological mothers, knowing how kind of irritated they are that their stepchildren can't call them mother because of the biological mothers, noted that as biological mothers, they wouldn't like their children calling another one mom either.
Yeah.
So it's this really interesting line that they're trying to walk between those labels.
I was in a grocery store one time and there was some kids with a woman, and they were talking to her. I thought they were saying Steph, like Stephanie, and as I, because they kept calling her that again and again, and then I got closer and I realized they were calling her Step, and that was their name for their stepmother was Step.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I've never heard that before. And what does that mean? Does she want to be called that? Is it a term of endearment? Is it a term of diminishment?
Yeah.
You had to have heard so many different stories. What kind of themes were similar, though? Were there things, naming and how to name people is a theme? What are some of the other sort of thematic elements of boundary mother or double mothers? I like double mothers a lot. I like that term.
Yeah. The vast majority of women talked about that they let their stepkids decide what to call them.
Yeah.
And they mostly highlighted that how important that was to let the kids decide, that no adult should be telling the children, you should call her mom, you can't call her mom. And most of them reported that their stepchildren called them by their given name,
Right. Whatever
their given name was. They just were on a first name basis. Some of them noted some nicknames, and those were used as terms of endearment. It wasn't an othering, you know, you over there sort of word. It was a word of love. To just separate this stepmother as a mother figure from their biological mother. And some of them reported, you know, just that their kids always called them mom. And a lot of this depended on the age
yeah.
of the child at which when the stepmother came into their household. You know, a teenager might be much less resistant to call their new step parent mom or dad, where they, you know, if you came into someone's life as a baby, then a mom or, you know, dad, by comparison, might feel much easier.
Yeah. And the amount of time that somebody is with somebody must make a difference. Do you have to, it seems like if you are the biological mother, then, you know, you're the mother. But do you have to earn your way into becoming that stepmother? Do you have to earn your way into becoming a double mother? Is it based on time? Is it based on behavior? What is the research showing?
It seems to just be based on a relationship with a man with kids. And a lot of women reported that once they married their husbands, that their status became much more concrete. That, you know, it means something different to be dad's girlfriend than dad's wife. So that represented a significant turning point in their identities and their roles within their families. But they didn't. Time seemed really variant on the age of the kids. You know, young kids tend to be much more welcoming of new people compared to teenagers. So there really wasn't a time period at which women felt that switch. And a lot of this has to do with residency of kids, too. Most of these kids lived full time with their biological mothers, came to dad's and stepmom's house, you know, for summers or every other weekend. You know, arrangements vary wildly out there. And so some of it depended on how often the kids were in their home. But even the women whose kids, whose stepkids did not live with them full time, still reported, you know, these very strong mothering feelings of love and protection and obligation to these kids and wanting a larger role in their in those children's lives.
Right. What's the responsibility or the role of the father then as he sort of navigates the ex or the biological mother and his current wife? And
In some families, he was really the middleman. A lot of stepmothers had no contact or very little contact with the biological mother, with the ex-wife. And some of that was they didn't want contact. They felt that it was their husband's responsibility since those kids were biologically his, that it was up to him and their mother, their biological mother, to make educational decisions, medical decisions, behavioral decisions, and things like that. And they really felt, you know, that was not their place since they were not the real mother, so to speak. Someone used those terms. And then I think some of the some families, some of the dads were kind of stepped aside, which was really interesting. That there were just a handful of women I talked to where they took the mother role with their stepkids and in communicating with the biological mother. And there were a few families I spoke with that they got along fantastically, and dad was on the outside. It was really fascinating.
So there are many ways for this relationship to go wrong. What are you learning about the ways that it's gone right and where families are really redefining? Because so much of this is based on the expectation, not necessarily on the reality of what's happening in individual families.
Yeah. Well, you know, culturally, we've set up the biological mother and the stepmother as in competition.
Right.
And as I mentioned before, the kids can only have one mother. And so there's this fighting for, you know, love as if love is a thing that a child can run out of. But let's see. I started off and then I forget your question.
I know, and I was forgetting my question too. As soon as you started, I was like, what? I think it's such a ways that it goes right, like ways to really do this in a healthy way where you're seeing things, because, you know, our definitions don't always apply to what's happening in real families is what we were getting at.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of our cultural understandings are the ways in which it does go wrong. That, you know, we tend to think of stepfamilies as more dysfunctional, less ideal than in non, you know, than first married families who have not experienced a divorce or a disruption. Like I said, there are a few women I talked to that really made it work. And the things that set them aside was, you know, focusing on the kids. That if everybody's best, if everybody's looking out for the kids' best interest, then the kind of relationship struggles that happen between, you know, ex-husbands and ex-wives kind of fade into the background. Because a lot of the discord that comes is the defining of roles, you know, where the stepmother's role begins and ends and the biological mother's role begins and ends, and then dad's in there and, you know, there might be multiple kids. The families that seem to make it work, that got along, were able to put those, you know, you did this 5 years ago, so I'm not going to do this. They were able to put those qualms, those quibbles aside between themselves and really just work together for the kids. And it was amazing, the women I talked to, how lucky they felt. I mean, they were aware that they were unusual.
Right.
Because the common experience is conflict and fighting and disagreement. And they were aware how lucky they had been. And I asked them, well, why do you think it worked for you? And they always went back to, we did it for the kids. We were all in it for the kids. It didn't matter, you know, so much our feelings. We were here for the kids, which was really wonderful to hear.
I got great advice as a parent once, and someone said, the more adults there are in the world that care about your kid, the better off your kid's going to be. So open the door a little bit wider. Oh, I want you to write a book. I want you to write a book, and I'm going to buy 10 copies and give it to everyone I know. So double mothers. What a great topic. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Kayla Pritchard is giving a presentation, The Boundary Work of Double Mothers. That's the next Steam Cafe, Tuesday, March 19th. It's at Hay Camp Brewing Company in Rapid City, and she's with the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.